You're listening to Wordslinger Podcast, episode 135, Building Author Trust with Tim Knox. This episode of the Wordslinger Podcast is brought to you by Draft to Digital. Convert your manuscript, distribute it online, and get support the whole way at drafttodigital.com.
It's the Wordslinger Podcast, where story matters. Build your brand, write your book, redefine who you are. It's all about the story here. What's yours? Now, here's the guy who invented pants optional, Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger.
Word Slinger.
Hey, everybody. This is Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger, now currently known as the voice of indie publishing. That's an honor. I'll take it. Thank you for tuning in. I'm really excited about this interview you're going to hear today. I'm talking with Tim Knox, who is, among other things, I mean, he's an author, he's an entrepreneur, he is a ghostwriter. He's written hundreds of books that you'll never find his name on. And I think that's a kind of fascinating industry. I toyed with that. I played around with doing some ghostwriting for a while. And I did a couple. I did a few. But you know, I never made it a huge business. Maybe in my retirement, as if I'm going to retire. Anyway, I'm glad you're tuning in. Lots of stuff happening. We got the Thanksgiving holiday coming up next week. Very likely that you won't have a Wordslinger podcast episode on next Friday. If I sneak one in, I sneak one in, but I'm pretty sure you're not going to get one, because the whole week is going to be fairly busy for me anyway, and then we're gonna be off. Draft Digital is going to be closing its offices. That's a news tidbit you might want to know. If you've got anything in the works, you're going to want to get that out before the Thanksgiving holiday. Probably Monday should be the cutoff. Monday being the what is today? I have no idea. I believe Monday will be the 19th, or 20th, I'm sorry. So you're going to want to make sure that your books, any distribution you have in mind, any promotions you're going to set up, you're going to try to want to do that in the first couple of days of the head of the week, because otherwise things are going to get chaotic. Speaking of chaotic, because of the Amazon announcement following, you know, quickly on the heels of the pronoun announcement, man, things have been just jumping at Draft Digital. We've had to send out an email or two just to let people know that things were, you know, the workload was a little heavier than usual. We had 30 times the number of books come into our service that we normally have, thanks to this expansion. That's fantastic. It's just, you know, now we got to deal with all the tickets, so everything has to be dealt with. We're getting a grip on that, though. We've been pretty good about it. I'm impressed by our support team. I mean, they're there day and night. I mean, there's people pitching in from other departments, and probably from their apartments. It's fantastic to see what these guys do. I mean, it's just it can be exhausting work, but man, they're all over it. So no worries there. Draft Digital is continuing to take care of you, just higher than normal volume. And if you are accustomed to calling Draft Digital with any questions or concerns or support issues, this would be a good time to start using the email instead, because at the moment, that's taking priority. Anything that's in the email system is going to get priority over phone calls. Frankly, it's just, it generates a ticket automatically. In other words, a support ticket gets generated automatically, and it gets dealt with in rapid succession. Whereas phone calls typically take a little longer to deal with, because, you know, someone's got to listen, then they got to find the appropriate department, they got to forward everything. And we're getting a lot of calls from people who are just asking basic questions about the company. Normally, we'd be all over that, and I would encourage you to do it. For now, with the major changes, the new additions, and with the holiday coming up, the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday for those who are outside the U.S., much better if you just please go ahead and email support@drafteddigital.com. Wanted to put that in this episode just because it's fresh in my mind. I just did an outgoing voice message asking people to do the same. Please don't call or listen to that voice message if you don't mind. Just don't call. Just email. Email will get you all the help you need and much faster. All right. All that said, I'm going to get you into this interview with Tim Knox. I am... today has been an interesting day. I have I'm kind of tackling a few new challenges with the YouTube side of this. Thinking about upgrading some equipment here. I've been doing pretty well as long as I've been doing the audio version of the show. There's really been very few issues. The MacBook Air is more than enough to take care of that. Adding video into the mix, my system resources are getting a little on the taxed side, so. Thinking about upgrading, so so at any rate, and I already know what I'm getting. I don't need suggestions, so I'll let you know when it happens, when and if it happens. But otherwise, lots of changes coming, of course, to the Word Slinger podcast. Stick around after the interview. I'll do the housekeeping. I might have some news tidbits for you. I got a couple of things you might want to hear about. And if you're not already, make sure you're tuning in to the Word Slinger podcast on YouTube, and subscribe, and hit the little notification icon, the little bell. I'm trying to build up a viewership there. And if you'll help me share that and get that out to the community on YouTube, that would be fantastic. I'd really appreciate that. So beyond that, hope you enjoy this interview with Tim Knox. It's all about building trust. So. Trust me when I say you're going to love this interview, and I'll see you on the other side. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Now, I'm actually sitting here with a fellow. I'm going to call you. You do a podcast as part of your show, right?
I do.
Yep. Podcast. Yep. Sitting here with a fellow podcaster and author and an entrepreneur, Tim Knox. What's the name of your show, Tim? I didn't even jot it down, man.
The one on YouTube is How to Become a Better Writer. The podcast itself is interviewing authors.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Interviewing Authors podcast, everybody, which I will be a guest on, right?
And then you will. Well, you're actually going to be a guest on the both of them now. You're going to be on the video show as well.
Oh, awesome. All right.
Yeah. So, put on pants. Come on, man.
Pants. So I'm talking to Tim Knox. Tim, first of all, you're a best-selling author of over a dozen books. That's a lot of authors aspire to hit the double digits there. So that's good work.
Yeah, it was. One of them was an official bestseller. The others are like the Amazon bestsellers. But all total, I do a lot of ghostwriting. I've probably written 124 ghostwritten books, as well as a dozen of my own. So yeah.
Ghostwriting. So that's I did a little bit of that. I didn't particularly like the whole vibe of it.
the thing about ghostwriting, I get this question a lot. I've actually had people say, that's just horrible. That's immoral. That's illegal. Well, no.
Wow, it's, I don't it's see really, anything wrong with it.
Well, no. People, yeah. But, the thing that I learned about ghostwriting, the hardest part is kind of letting go of your ego a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is what I was talking to John David Mann the other day, who wrote The Go-Giver, and he's got a couple of new books out. And he's probably one of the most prolific, most successful ghostwriters out there. I mean, he ghostwrites big names.
Yeah.
And, my thing is I don't care if my name's on the front of the book as long as my name is on the check.
Yeah.
And that's the nice thing about ghostwriting. If the book sells, that's great. I get paid either way. So, I've got no problem with it whatsoever. Would I rather, write and market and sell my own book? Sure.
Right.
But can I make this much money doing that? No, but until I can, I'll ghostwrite happily.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I kind of have, I don't know. I have a hang up because I have a huge ego. we talked about large heads before the show started rolling, and I got a pretty big one.
There's a sound bite for you, dude. I got a pretty big one.
I got a pretty big one. Yeah.
I got a pretty big one.
So you, how did you end up in the ghostwriting? I mean, that's kind of off topic. Well, it's not entirely off topic, but I mean, how
I fell backwards into it. My background, I was a software entrepreneur for about 25 years, and I sold my company, and I was going to, just kind of write the great American novel because I'd always been a writer. I wrote a newspaper column for 5 or 6 years. So I wrote my own books. I put them out there. And the one thing that I figured out was I'm a really good writer. I'm not a great marketer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty common. I think that's where all authors start. But
I know that's the crux of my show is how to market your work. And I'm still learning. But about a year ago, my wife had some health problems and, she had to take off work for about 3 months and I needed ways to come up with quick cash cause I didn't want to live on my retirement. So, I was doing a lot of Kindle publishing at the time, actually hiring ghostwriters and doing all that stuff. And, I actually put a profile on Upwork. And so I just started getting ghostwriting jobs and I mean, you know, the good paying ones. So, so 124 books later, some of them are books that I would lay claim to, many are not.
Yeah.
But again, money on the check. So I got into it out of necessity and, you know, you can do very well as a ghostwriter.
Yeah. I've seen that. I've seen people actually do that work and make a pretty good living. To me, it's just, you know, if I'm going to put that kind of work into it, I want my name on it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you know, you can't pay your rent with ego. Trust me, I've tried. I've really tried.
If it's possible, I'm going to find a way.
Yeah. That's it. Well, you know, I mean, you know as well as I do what 1% of authors actually make a living from what they do, and maybe 5% make enough money to pay the rent. You know, I'm in that top 1%. And again, my name is not on the book, but the funny thing though, Kevin, is it's made me a much better writer and it's made me a much better editor because my main business now is Knox Publishing that does ghostwriting, but the bread and butter there is editing for nonfiction authors. Right. And so, you know, when you crank out a 50,000 word young adult mystery in about 3 weeks, you get pretty damn good at writing or you get really good at crappy writing.
Right.
So, it's been good. It's been a really good learning curve and it's done well.
Well, it is interesting because there's that adage that the first million words are practice, right? And you're actually putting your million words into someone else's name. So,
well, you know, that's one of the things when you do ghostwrite, you're no longer really writing to your standards. You're writing to someone else's.
Right.
And typically, I mean, you know, this, their standards are probably lower than mine.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, because it's really not my work, you know, still I take great pride in it. And the fact that I think 18 or 19 of these books have hit number one paid on Amazon, that's pretty good writing.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
he said humbly.
He said, cashing his checks, sleeping in his golden bed, driving.
You know, it buys me a nice house. Let's just leave it at that.
And that's really the kind of the goal. You know, that's one of the reasons why I stuck with copywriting for so long, even though I wasn't a huge fan of, you know, I mean, I'm a very good copywriter. I'm an award-winning copywriter, but I wasn't exactly a huge fan of taking on particular clients. You know, who wants to write for oil and gas or, you know, whatever. But one of the reasons I stayed with it was because, you know, it's hard to make that I'm writing and I'm making money. So it's hard to really argue, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think as long as you've got your toe in the water there somehow, you know, I mean, I think your end goal is probably the same as mine. I want to someday make a living writing my books with, you know, putting my name on the front and cashing those checks. But this is a great way to finance this. It sure beats working for a living. Yeah, exactly. I mean, God forbid, you know, I have to go back and sit in an office 8 hours a day. I mean, I'm in a spare room in my house. I walk to work every morning. It's about 30 feet from my bedroom. I'm not wearing pants.
Right. Yeah.
So, hell, that's a pretty good gig.
Not on my lower half anyway.
Well, you know, I was wearing pants until I read your show notes there and I took them off. They're gone.
It's
a little chilly, a little nippy.
It's part of the contract. The Wordslinger contract is to and drop the pants, literally and figuratively. So, I want to talk a little bit about your show because I've been tuning in. I've been tuning in on YouTube, and I have not actually dropped in on your actual podcast, but the two are related but not identical.
They are. Well, the Interviewing Authors podcast I did, for about 2 years. I think 100 and some odd interviews on that show. And it was basically interviewing authors of all ilk. I had best-selling authors. I had, you know, David Baldacci. I had Mary Higgins Clark. Okay. I had Nelson DeMille. I had Armand Rosamilia on that you had on recently, the zombie hunter. But basically, it was a show that was about the craft of writing. And what I would do is I would interview like a, you know, a Nelson DeMille who sold 100 million books and just talk about how he writes, how he does that sort of thing. And so that show did very well and it's still sitting out there, but I've kind of moved it over to video. Yeah. And what I do now, the main video channel there is more of an advice. I talk about the mechanics of writing, the marketing, the editing, but then once a week, I also do an interview. And so you're going to be on the show. I had John David Mann on recently. I've got a lot of the authors that I had on the old podcast are now coming on this show. Right. So it's going to be cool. What's really interesting is to see how all of those authors do on video.
Yeah.
Because, you know, hell, you can barely get them in front of a mic. It's going to be interesting to see how they do on video. But what you know, the whole point of this show is how to help you become a better writer. And part of that is becoming a better marketer, a better editor, a better, you know, social media person, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, the show is relatively new. We've been doing, it comes out 5 days a week. I've been doing it for about a month, but the response has been really good. So I'm very encouraged.
Yeah. Okay. So it's relatively new, but it's, it's built on roots, built on a platform.
It does. And I also have a Kindle KDP Select Kindle Publishing Channel because I did that for a long time. And it's kind of designed to help people publish on Kindle and gosh, fight that never ending battle of maintaining your account and trying to sell a few books. So, nightmare.
Now you've got a handful of books out. Are you exclusive to KDP or are you wide?
No, I'm not. I was for a while back when I was really actively doing the marketing part because, and I did a video on that, I think coming out next week is, you know, KDP Select has its advantages and disadvantages. The biggest thing is Amazon is, you know, for digital, they're the 800 pound gorilla, but I use Drafted Digital for everything else, and I really, you know, now
not necessary to kiss up to me on my
show. Not kissing up to you. I didn't even know you were with these guys until recently, but, but no, you know, KDP Select, it has its ups and downs, but at the bottom of the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether you're on KDP Select or not. If you can't market the book, you're not going to do very well. And that's the whole thing. I mean, you and I, we have offline discussions about, you know, folks like Michael Anderle and, and Steve Conkley and those guys who are just killing it because it's almost like they figured out the marketing formula.
Right.
You know, like a Russell Blake who does a new book every 2 weeks. You know, it's that sort of thing. So, you know, KDP Select has its place. Is it the end-all, be-all? No, not really. I think at the end of the day, you've got to go wide or you're really not going to sustain selling books.
No, yeah, I agree. And, you know, and I think that KDP is a good – it's part of a strategy, especially for an incoming author who hasn't really, you know, put much together. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just think, you know, going wide is the better long-term strategy. So
well, I do too. I mean, I would. Yeah. Well, I think eventually you're going to see other platforms like Drafted Digital giving Amazon kind of a run for their money because Amazon right now, honest to God, is doing everything in its power to run off authors.
Yeah, and it sure seems like it. Yeah,
They do. I've been publishing on Amazon going on 10, 11 years now, and every year it seems like there's something new, like the KENP 3.0 now has everybody scurrying because they really have no idea – you know, are my pages going to be counted? How do I get past this flip thing? It's just, I've seen people's revenue drop 70-80% overnight simply because, you know, Amazon turned the screws a little bit. So it's just, you know, this man, when you build your house on someone else's platform, it's liable to fall at any time.
Yeah,
and so I think it's just a giant weeding out going on at Amazon right now.
Do you think that's what it is, literally? You think they're trying to weed out authors?
I think this started a couple of years ago when people like me were producing books and publishing books that were ghostwritten. And we were, you know, it was so easy to, I don't want to say game the system, but, you know, you got paid for page reads.
Right.
So you wanted your books to be as, as thick as possible. And so there was a big stink about that. Amazon changed the rules. They shut down a lot of accounts. And now it's kind of the same thing, because the feeling is Amazon is going to start not giving PageRead money for bonus content, or, you know, if you're using the same bonus in two or three books, that's no longer allowed.
Right.
So, you know, at the end of the day, whether it's meant to be or not, it is going to be a weeding out process. But the thing that Amazon doesn't seem to realize, or maybe even care about, I don't know, is that it is affecting real authors,
right,
like you and me, who right, are writing our books and trying to sell our books. And we're kind of getting caught up in the fray as well. So, mm-hmm, hey, that's why I ghostwrite.
Right.
That affects that business as well. When my clients are calling me to tell me that their revenue is down 60-70%, and they can't pay the rate that I charge, you know, that trickles down to me. So
exactly,
it's kind of the same thing, man. eBay did this years ago. Every 6 months to a year, eBay was weeding out and booting people out. And it's kind of a thinning of the herd, but you know, they say they do it for the benefit of the readers, but I don't buy that. I just think they're doing it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird. I've never seen anything like this one.
No, yeah, there have been a lot of changes. We've been monitoring, of course. You know, we watch everything Amazon does because
I bet you do.
Because we want to leap in there and
authors. But you know, this is good. This is good for your business, though.
Yeah, this is good
for the other platforms, because Amazon is the 800-pound gorilla. But you know, when the 800-pound gorilla starts taking shits on you, you find another place to lay down. Pardon my French.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so I think you'll have to go wide to stay relevant.
Yeah, I agree. I'm even using KDP right now because I'm doing a relaunch, right? I'm doing a rebrand, basically, moving into a new genre. So this is what I tell authors to do. So of course I'm going to do it too, but
yeah,
you know, it has its place, you know? So,
well, it does. And I mean, it's, you know, again, it's where most of the folks are.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're, for some reason, they're making it difficult on everybody trying to weed out the herd. So, you know, you got the James Pattersons left.
Right.
And Amazon's always had a double standard. You may get dinged for doing something that James Patterson is doing, but you're not selling $1 million worth of books a day.
Right.
So there is that.
The folks who, you know, the guys who are killing it in the indie circles, they're not immune to that either, though. So it really is a true double standard in that.
Yeah.
If you're traditionally published, they all overlook quite a bit. So.
Well, they will. And you know, that's a damn shame, because I think a lot of the indie authors, you know, again, we talk about Anderley and all the folks that he works with,
right,
you know, who are actually making a good living over there. They're making Amazon money.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Now they're not making James Patterson level money, but again, it's the same old thing as always. The bigger fish you are, the better you're treated. And, right, you know, the little fish, you know, but the key is, once you become a big fish, remember how the little fishing was.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen so many authors that were struggling, and then they would hit it, and then, you know, keep humble, baby. Keep humble.
Keep humble. You're best to start off humble and just don't go anywhere from there.
Just humble.
So, all right. So, now you are writing your own fiction, right?
Yeah.
And nonfiction as well, right?
I am, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, why get into the podcasting and the video channels and all that? Do you see that helping your books?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. The reason that I started the Interviewing Authors podcast is because I was just nosy. I wanted to know how these authors were doing that.
Exactly.
You know, and there was a guy, Larry Wingate, who's a national speaker, 6-time New York Times bestselling author, Fox Business analyst, et cetera, et cetera. Larry was a mentor from mine back in the speaking days. I used to do a lot of TV and I used to do a lot of speaking. And so Larry and I were talking one day about his latest New York Times bestseller. And I'm just picking his brain. I'm like, you know, how do you, you know? And at the end of that phone call, he goes, you know what? You ought to do an interview show, because this has been a lot of fun. And so I started interviewing just buddies, you know, other speaking buddies that wrote books. And then Homer Hickam, who wrote October Sky, is actually from here. And I met him, so I interviewed him, and it just kind of blossomed. And every show was really me picking their brains, because I wanted to know how they did what they did so I could do it too.
Right, exactly.
You know, And the same way with what I'm doing now on video. And, you know, the thing was, I got this response from listeners that were like, hey, we want to know that stuff too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, after my journey, I have, like you, a body of knowledge about how to write and how to edit and how to deal with agents and all this sort of stuff. So just kind of passing that along really is kind of it's not a giving back, because I hate that term. It's really kind of just, I'm just sharing the knowledge. And if I get some new book editing clients along the way, that's gravy,
right?
You know? Yeah, right. And so, yeah, so that's what I do. I just find it interesting. You know, when you and I first made contact, I'm a big time investigator. I get online and check people out, and I'm like, how is he doing that? Who does he know? What can we do to get, you know, it's kind of a big networking thing. That's one of the things I believe in. It's not really networking. It's more like connecting. Mm-hmm. You know, if I know someone you want to meet, I'll connect you, because it helps everybody.
Right.
So that's the whole crux of it, is helping other writers, you know, hone their craft. Whatever, you know, little knowledge I have that can help, I'm more than willing to impart for free, you know, on the videos and on the podcast. And if I benefit along the way, again, I think it's made me a better writer.
Yeah.
Because it makes me think of this stuff. Yeah. You know, if I'm going to do a video on how to market your book offline, I have to actually sit down and think about that.
Right.
And getting me to actually sit down and think about something is like, you know, pinning in a 2-year-old with ADD. It's just really, right. You know, so it benefits me as well as the viewers.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah, that's exactly why I started Wordslinger Podcast, you know.
Yeah.
The show started as a way for me to talk to people, kind of learn what they're doing and steal their, you know, processes and that sort of thing. But you know,
we borrow and we improve.
There's nothing left when I'm gone. I mean, it's just, well, you're an empty shell.
You're a bone picker. I feel the flesh coming off of my bones as we speak. I'm going to pick your bones Thursday, so that's okay.
Yeah, no, I do. I do interviews the same way I eat chicken wings, man. It's nothing but, it's a chicken graveyard when I'm done.
That's funny.
So you've got, okay. Now I need to go check out interviewing authors, because I thought they were the same. I thought the podcast and the show were the same. So I'm behind, and I apologize.
Catch up, man. Jesus.
I'm not like you, apparently. I didn't go investigate. And
you don't do your homework? Oh, my God.
I like to come with these things fresh, man.
I think it's funny. We're both wearing the Make Me Smarter look glasses.
I know.
We're failing miserably, I think.
No. We look good. We look brilliant.
You look good.
Talking, you know, and I was telling you before the show, I've told you a couple of times now that I admire your studio set up there. Everyone who has listened to the show for any length of time knows that I started in the show in my little home studio.
I have seen you, yeah.
Yeah, and
I watch your videos.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, but I'm going to borrow from what you're doing here, man.
You know what? And I sent you a picture, which
I know
you can never make public. It's all about the viewfinder.
Yeah, you don't want to reveal these secrets, you know?
Well, what's funny is when you have a guest on your show and they go, holy crap, are you in a studio?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, I'm in a very formal studio that happens to be a corner of a spare room in my house. But it's all, you know, it's all about the viewfinder, what the viewfinder sees.
Well, what is it? I mean, you know, you and I both share kind of a background in film and TV. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I used to do things like this all the time. And if you go visit most studios,
they're crap holes.
They're complete crap holes. Like they're worse. Your setup that you showed me in your bedroom, I'm like, that's actually pretty nice. That's probably one of the nicer studios I've ever seen. But
well, thank you. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's I used to do business analysis, so I would sit on the set, you know, and do my little spiel, and I would look around, and you're in this huge dark room, mm-hmm. and the only thing that looks good is what the camera can see. The That's set. Right. Right. You know, they got the lights, they got the pretty colors. Everything else is just, it's like Fred Sanford's living room blew up.
Right, exactly.
And so that taught me, it's, and I keep saying this, it's just what the viewfinder sees.
Right.
And so I figured out the viewfinder sees about a 3-foot, 4-foot swatch behind me, about a 2-foot swatch this way.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that pretty. Yeah. Now, you know, when I turn off the webcam, I turn off the lights, I move the monitors back where they go, I put the books away, and then I'm back in my little shithole.
So you actually build this out each time you're doing a show?
I do, but it's really easy. All I have to do, I've got lights here. I usually do everything on a DSLR camera. So I've got umbrella lights on the wall. That's just gray foam padding.
Yeah, exactly.
And the reason it's blue is I have $15 rope LED lights strung around the back of the monitors.
Right, right, right.
So when I'm going to do this, all I do literally is bring up these two screensavers. I turn on the LED lights. I bring out these books. And that's it. It's good to go, man. Studio in a box.
There you go. Dress the set. Yeah. So that's cool. Man. You didn't have to reveal how the sausage was made.
Hey, man. No pants required. My pants are down.
Now, look, international law says we cannot mention pants and sausage in the same sentence. Okay.
Ah. Okay. I'll try to behave.
You've got some. I'm going to have to go through your back catalog, man, because I'm going to have to. To ask you to make some introductions, brother, because like Baldacci, I want to talk to him. I'd love to get
you know what's really funny is most of the big names, you know, you have to go through their people, but then when you get them on the phone, they're the nicest people, and right. I've actually formed really good friendships with some of them, and you know, it's really funny, and you might like this. A lot of the older authors who've been doing this for 20, 25 years in their traditional publishing systems, this whole internet thing just blows their mind.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, you get someone like a Nelson DeMille. Nelson's what, in his 70s? He sold 100 million books. He doesn't know anything about online marketing or social media. And granted, he's got people who do that, but some of them don't. And it just really frustrates the fire out of them that, you know, they miss the good old days when they could just write the book, pass it off to the editor, and then go cash the checks.
Right.
You know, now
I miss those days too. And I never.
So do I. You know, I traditionally published my business book, you know, with John Wiley. Right. And so, you know, my agent got me a sweet deal. I got a 5-figure advance. I did the manuscript. I sent it off and everybody was happy. You know, it doesn't work like that anymore. Right. You know, even if Wiley publishes your book, it's really up to you to do all the marketing. Right. You know, I mentioned, you know, Larry Winget, who's 6-time New York Times bestselling author. Every time he comes out with a book, he's still beating the bushes, getting interviews and doing his thing.
Right.
And you have someone like a John David Mann who wrote The Go-Giver with Bob Berg, you know, he's now self-publishing. So he's having to take all that stuff on himself. And it's a new world to these guys.
No,
because they're used to having someone else do it for them. So it's kind of sad and funny to watch.
Right. And mostly sad.
Kind of like the last episode of MASH. Sad and funny.
Sad and funny.
90% of the audience is going, what?
Yeah. No, I think it's probably more like 80%. I think my threshold for people who wouldn't understand a MASH reference start.
Well, see, that's the nice thing about my audience. They're primarily old white guys like me, so they get all my obscure references. It's great.
Exactly. So you're you've got kind of a little budding empire going here, like a little media empire you're pulling together. Huh?
Well, yeah, maybe a little budding media empire. Well, you know, my background, my software company, one arm of that was a media company.
Oh,
and
okay.
We did audio, video, we did production, and we did it back when it was really hard to do. You know, remember the days when you had to have a streaming server and the video, I mean, it would just sit there and bounce and never load. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I learned from that, it's all about repurposing content.
Right.
You know, I mean, and again, I'm preaching to the choir here. You know, when you and I do this, you know, when you're on my show, I take the video and I put it on YouTube. I put it on all my websites. I put it, you know, everywhere I can find a place to put it. Then I will suck out the audio and create a podcast of that. And then I will have my VA transcribe it and create a blog post. And, you know, so I've always been a really big believer that you've got all these different forms of media and you need to take advantage of each one of them.
Right.
And, you know, we talk about this on my show, you know, authors need to realize this too. Yeah. You know, your product might be a book, digital or paperback, but at the end of the day, you're an entrepreneur. You got to treat it like a business. You got to market it and you've got to take that product and package it however you need to sell it.
Right.
So, you know, I wouldn't say I've got an empire going. I've got a little anthill forming.
Yeah, well, everybody starts somewhere. So the show and everything, does any of that really help with your book sales? I think I tried to ask this earlier, actually.
Yeah, you know, I really, honestly, I'm not, I don't have a book that I'm really pushing now. I've got several books in work, but you know, where that really is helping me is in my editing and coaching business.
Right.
You know, because I do have people contact me wanting to know, you know, do you coach, which I do, and how do you edit my book, and can we work together? So I think eventually I've got some things in work that are really going to put a lot of books out there relatively quickly. Right. You know, the Anderle model. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I think then that sort of thing will help. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it all goes to branding and marketing. You know, it's like these silly little cartoons. It's all silly. You'd be amazed at how many comments I get over these things.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just, that's the whole crux of it. I see this show, you know, number one, hopefully is entertainment and information, but it's also a way to get folks into the funnel.
Right.
You know, this is, if you're interested in what I do, hey, here's, go to timknox.com or findabookeditor.com. And if I can help you, you know, feel free to let me know. Yeah. But the thing that I and you know this better than I do because you've been doing it more lately, is it's all about the interactivity.
Yeah.
You know, the relationships that you can build online, either with, you know, like peers like us or with like potential clients or, you know, that sort of thing. That to me is the real value, is the interactivity or the relationships, because I think at the end of the day, that's how you're going to make your money.
Yeah.
You know, people buy books or buy services from people they like and trust.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. That trust, that's difficult to build though. What do you think is, what's the best advice for that?
You know, the thing about it is I'm a firm believer in you've got to give to get.
Yeah.
You know, it's, if I came on right out of the gate and I'm like, okay, you got to pay for this, you got to pay for that. Here's an affiliate link to this. Here's the, you know, I think there's a lack of trust there. You know, I come from the old internet marketing days where, you know, you tried to get people to buy by email and that sort of thing. And you got to build that trust. You got to build a relationship. You know, you look at someone like a Pat Flynn, you know, Pat, I mean, no nicer guy on the planet, very open, very honest, and making a fortune, not because he's selling all this stuff, but he is basically playing off the backs of the relationships that he has built over the course of years with viewers and customers. So I think the thing about trust is you got one chance to blow it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right,
I mean, if people trust you and you do something, you know, wrong, at least in their eyes or whatever, it's really easy for that trust to go away, and it's really hard to get it back.
Right.
And, you know, that's one of the things about the internet, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. The internet breeds anonymity, and anonymity will breed a very loud, obnoxious voice that will be more than happy to set you straight or go after you if you break that trust. So right. I think it's a fine line, you know, but I think, hell, you're smart enough to know whether or not you're doing something that's going to negatively affect that relationship.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I mean, yeah. Well, you know, back, I actually know a guy who is multi-millionaire internet marketer. And his thing is, if you get on his email list, he is going to hammer the crap out of you with email offers until you either buy or opt out.
Right.
Because in his mind, if you're not going to buy, he doesn't want you on his list.
Yeah.
And so I've always just had a hard time with that. I can't, you know, maybe that's why he's making 10 times the money I am. I don't know.
And maybe is. I feel like there's a trade-off there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because you can do that. I mean, I know lots of people who do it. I could probably do that and make a lot more money than I do now, but I would feel like crap all the time. And
well, that's the thing. You got to look at the guy in the mirror at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. You My know. First customer is me, you know? And if I'm not satisfying, you know, myself, if I'm unhappy with the work I'm doing, you know, I have a poor client relationship with them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the way you have to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, you are, and this goes back to my old entrepreneurial days, is, you know, you are your first product.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, people buy from people they like or trust. And if they don't like or trust you, you know, you might hit it big for a little while, but it's not going to be sustaining by any stretch.
Right. Right. Mm-mm. Right. All right. Well, we're kind of at time, so I want to go ahead and wrap us up.
No, I'm having fun.
I know, man. It happens every time. What I look hell? Up and say, what? 30. So you've got a ton of websites. They're all going to be in the show notes, but where's the main place people can find all about you?
If you just go to timknox.com, basically it is nothing more than a splash page to the dozen or two websites that I have. And most right. of those are informational. I've got free courses on WordPress and book cover creation. And then I've got, you know, the podcast, and then I've got my main business, but yeah, timknox.com, or just go to YouTube and type in Tim Knox.
All right. Good deal. All right, man. Will you hang out? Everybody, well, first of all, thanks for being on the show, man.
Hey, man, happy to do it. Wait. Let's do it again.
Job out. We'll do it again.
Let's do it
again
Thursday.
2 days. For everybody else, you may not get to see me right away in 2 days, but you will get to see Tim anywhere you look for him online. Definitely check out his website. Check out his channel on YouTube. It's great. It's got high production value. It's a great source of information. I highly
recommend. It's all about blue lights, baby.
It's all about the blue lights. So, right this very second, you may be hearing the groovy bridge music. You may dance in place at will. And I will see you on the other side with housekeeping and a little bit of wrap up. Thanks again for being on, Tim. And everybody else, we'll see you next time. All right, that was my interview with Tim Knox. I hope you enjoyed that. If you haven't already, if you haven't encountered his YouTube channel, definitely go find that on YouTube. You'll find a link to that in the show notes. But if you just search Tim Knox and how to be a better writer, I think you're going to find it right away. Check out my episode on the show. I was on there not long ago. Hope you dig that. So, all right, a little bit of housekeeping. I've added a news segment. I had said I was only going to do this on the YouTube channel, but why not? Why not? This week's indie publishing news. I've only got 3 items. You already know about a couple of them, I'm sure. But just to get a start here. So Draft Digital has of course announced its new distribution to Amazon. Lots of cool stuff coming out of that. Of course, I mentioned our workload has increased by 30 times. But in addition to that, I mean, Amazon is a much sought after channel for us, for our authors. Of course, a lot of people go direct, which is fine, and we're not going to discourage that. We just want you to be able to choose us if you want to choose us. And, you know, as time goes by, well, things can happen. There's nothing I can talk about officially about the Draft Digital and Amazon partnership here, but you might want to keep an eye on it. How's that for news? Okay, what was interesting about that was that announcement, by sheer coincidence, came quickly on the heels of the announcement of Pronoun, announcing that they're going to close their doors in January 2018. That's leaving a lot of authors in the lurch, and it's kind of unfortunate. It kind of, honestly, in some ways, makes me mad. I mean, there were a lot of authors depending on Pronoun and the promises they were making. It would be easy to say, told you so, honestly, because, you know, I and several others pointed out that with no revenue model, there's basically no business, and without the business, without something supporting this, eventually that was going to go away. It's rude to say I told you so. and it's also not helpful, and it's not kind. So I apologize. So here's the deal, though. You're not completely out in the lurch. You can still reconnect your books, the reviews and that sort of thing on Amazon and elsewhere, by reaching out and asking them to connect that. You're going to need your, on Amazon, for instance, you'll need your new AISN, whatever the equivalent to that is on the other platforms. You can do the same. Just let them know it's a new edition, it's being published through a new channel, and you would appreciate it if they would connect your reviews, sales rank, all that stuff. It's actually an opportunity, potentially, for you to kind of take a little advantage of the 30-day cliff again. So give that a shot. Let's see what happens. Let me know your progress on that. In other news, this is something you have not heard from me yet. Brian Meeks. Now, he's been a guest on the show a couple of times now. He's probably going to be on at least once more. Now, I interviewed him about his new book, which is Amazon Ads, using Amazon Ads. I'm sure it has an official title that I'm completely butchering, but here's the deal. You can go search for him. You can search for that book. You can also look in the show notes. But now he's got a master course, which I think is going to be very helpful. He's calling it Meek's Master Classes. And you'll be able to find that information about it. You can enroll in it if you go to Meek's Master Classes, meeks-master-classes.teachable.com. And because that's such a mouthful, go look in the show notes. You'll be able to click over there from here. I'm hoping I can convince him to do a kind of affiliate relationship with that eventually. But for now, it's a free-for-all. Go check that class out if you've been thinking about using Amazon marketing services for your for promoting your books. He's got it down to a science. He's doing pretty well with it. You can't really argue with the results. So go check that out. That's it for the news segment this week. Sponsorships, that's kind of a new thing. It's not necessarily new, but of course you know Draft Digital is a sponsor of the show. Draft Digital will let you convert, publish, and distribute your books worldwide with support the whole way. And you can go check them out at draftdigital.com/wordslinger. Give this wordslinger a little extra boost. You can also check out KDP Rocket. Take control, get more readers, increase your Kindle rankings at, well, I'll give you this link, bit.ly/KDP Slinger. Go check that out. I do get some affiliate dollars every time someone signs up for that. That is a keyword tool, an SEO tool. You are going to dig that. I use it myself. It is very handy for finding new things to write about, being very topical in your writing, writing to market. You can use this tool to help rocket your success. Go check it out at bit.ly/KDP Slinger. You can also support this show by subscribing to it on the various services. That now includes YouTube. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, now YouTube, and be sure you're sharing with that with people. Tell everyone you know about the show. If it's doing you some good, make sure you're out there pushing it around because I could use the help. And if you want to support the show financially, of course, you can do that at patreon.com/KevinTumlinson. You can click on the Patreon logo on the wordslingerpodcast.com website. Of course, it's on every single episode and show notes, that is, and it's on the homepage itself. The homepage, of course, is getting its revamp. I'm still working. I'm still working hard. I have not slacked off. It's just a lot of work. That's just what it is. But if you are a supporter of Patreon, I'm going to be adding some nifty little perks for you eventually. They're coming, and I've already been building them. Here's the deal. There's going to be a Wordslinger podcast after show. The Wordslinger after show is going to let you have a few more minutes with each guest, some insight you didn't get from the episode, some behind-the-scenes kind of stuff. I'm going to be adding to that as I go, and some of these have been very fun. I actually just interviewed Ernest Dempsey. That's probably one of my favorite after-show interviews that I've done to date. You can look for that episode that's coming up. It'll be a little while before it gets here, but it'll be here. In the meantime, I got all kinds of new guests in line, in the queue, as it were. If you are interested to know, I'm talking to Debbie Drum over the next couple of weeks. She has a guide for increasing your reading speed. That's going to be kind of fun. I use that a lot myself, or was very enamored of it. I've got some more folks coming up. Grant Faulkner, you're going to like to hear that interview for sure. You're going to really want to hear that interview. Let's see. I got Jay Thorne. I got another great interview with Joe and Kate Russo. You're going to want to check into that. Lots of stuff coming up, so make sure you're tuning in. I got weeks and weeks of interviews already recorded, just already there. So make sure you're tuning in. You're going to love it. And thank you so much for being a Wordslinger podcast listener and supporter. I really appreciate it. The show is, it's taken on some new dimensions, honestly. It's opening up some new opportunities, new doors for me right now. Things I wish I could talk to you about right now, but I can't. I just can't. So, future episodes. Here's something, and I can hint at this. If you are looking for a new resource with which to market and promote yourself, I got something coming up. And if you are interested in hearing more, you're definitely going to want to tune into the show in the future. So make sure you're subscribed. And that's all I can say for now. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in, for listening, for supporting. God bless each and every one of you. I hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving holiday ahead, just in case we don't get a chance to talk before or after, immediately after. And we got the whole holiday season coming up, so it's going to be a great end of year and a whole new year starting. I'm glad we get to spend it together. God bless each of you. I'll see you next time.
Wordslinger.